Hi there, my beautiful little angel besties. Welcome back to my podcast. And newer angel besties, and the ones who have been with me for 3 weeks now, angel besties. Welcome, welcome. This is a faith-based podcast called Sip Bittersweet Tea. My name is Lauren Scott, and I'm your host, giving all the glory to God. The Lord is here with me in this room right now, making his love known, speaking to me, and through me to get to y'all. I hope all is well with you and that you are all eager to learn and listen to me go on and on about loving Jesus and ensuring that we stay on the path he gave to us. I'm so sorry, there's construction going on and it's really hot in my room, so I need to keep the window open. But let's get right into it. Jesus is my favorite cup of tea when life is truly bitter. And I want to share my love for him with you all so you can also love him and need him as much as I do. You know, I want to keep on this chapter of mental health, and right now, well, not just right now, but for the past few years, my biggest flaw that I need to truly work on is my temper. I don't know if you also battle with this, but if you do have a bad temper as well, today's episode is for you. I'm not an expert or a therapist. I'm just your big sister in Christ. And I don't know the right and the best way to manage life when dealing with anger issues or mental health issues. But because I'm 24 and I have been battling depression, anxiety, anger, like all those things for a few years now, I do have some coping mechanisms underneath my belt. I've been going to therapy for a few years now, and yeah, I've definitely grown, and having God by my side, I feel like I have been doing the most healing, and yeah, he's my number one go-to when, you know, like, I just kind of throw my coping mechanisms out the window or just kind of forget them at the moment. I always go to prayer. But yeah, these coping mechanisms make life easier to navigate, especially praying and just getting into the word. So I'll definitely be including them because the main source is Jesus, his love, his grace, and what the word has to say about it. You know, this is the third time me trying to record this. I feel like because I talk about the devil so much and how much of a coward he truly is, the recording stops. There's a glitch somehow. Like last night, my freaking downtime schedule came on, so I stopped recording for like 20 minutes. I was literally just talking to myself. I was so upset, but I have to remain faithful that I can get this message across, that I'm able to make Jesus' heart known without the devil's interference. You know, Satan is at work for evil and try to tear us down, but God will always be harder at work for good and what is right. Satan won't win against our Father. Amen, amen. Sorry, I tried to say winning against at the same time and it said winced. So yeah, I have a temper. And not just any bad temper where you feel an injustice, like a small one, you have to do something about it in a healthy manner, but where your blood literally broils and you can't control yourself. But is it just us having a bad temper? Or is it us being tempted to act out so hastily? Everything we encounter, that we experience, if not something that is happening to us, I feel like it is happening for us. And it's not going to seem like that way in the midst of it. Especially when we don't have a strong faith. Or if we don't have a faith at all, it's going to feel like, why are we being, you know, like, attacked? Why is this always happening to me? A lot of blessings have been happening for me, like to me, out of all people. I mean, I'm not like, I'm not against that, but it just feels so hard to process how much God can truly love us, especially when, and if we never really took our faith seriously. Or we talked bad about God and who we thought he was. Or just like the behaviors and activities we used to partake in. Whether it's partying or smoking or drinking. Or hanging out with the wrong crowd. Or, you know, like getting so angry. Or like flipping people off and like shouting and screaming and cursing. It's so easy to try and think that we know who God is before we actually get to know him, before we actually open up our Bibles and learn about him. And that is most likely the reason why my relationship with Jesus in the past was never more than a 1 to 5 minute prayer of thanks and like, I guess I'm grateful for, but now he is really the center of my universe. He is a father who loves us, who supports us and gives us grace upon grace and love after love. But he is also a father who wants what is best for us. And he isn't going to make everything easy for us. You know, we're going to have to struggle. And based on how we react and what we choose to act upon, he will judge us. He has to. It's like the only way we will learn how to truly live by his word. You know, like going down the righteous path. He is my light. He is my foundation and my savior. He is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Excuse me, my cat is trying to like claw his way in. I don't know how. Just give me 1 second. I'm just going to walk away from the computer. Like I said, I don't edit these, or you're going to hear me like get off from my chair and all that. Also, I grabbed my matcha. I left it by the bed. I was watching Virgin River. If you don't know what that is, it's a complete mom show. So, yeah, so I'm sipping on some matcha tea. I'm taking a little break from coffee. Coffee's not doing anything for me. And I'm eating a cinnamon raisin bagel with cream cheese, and it's so good. Mmm. If you have not eaten, please eat. It is currently 1:43. If you have not eaten, what are you doing? All right. Now back to it. So like I was saying, a lot of amazing and beautiful things have been happening to me, and none of it would be possible without Jesus. His grace, his never-ending love for me, and because of my faithfulness and loyalty to him, essentially. And for months, I've been lost. I would say literally years since I've had Meadow in 2021. So, like, 2020, it was getting a little rocky. I've hit rock bottom like a few times, and I don't know if it's like the worst rock bottom. I don't know if there's like different levels of rock bottom, but I definitely was at a really dark place in 2020. You know, I'm gonna get into that in like a different podcast. This is still new to me. I'm comfortable, but you know, like I'm just not sure if like that's something I should be getting into. Like, but I was really lost, and I lost all connection with God. Like, I have been in and out of jobs and school. To do weed or not to do weed, that is the question. No, but seriously, I have been led away from the cross. I've been led away from my path, my true spiritual gift. Which, by the way, I have learned in church that everyone has a gift, and it is spiritual because it is from God. Each one being unique to ourselves, and yeah, someone else can have the same gift or talent, and that's okay. It's how you use it, what you do with it, you know, like that's what makes it so unique. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone." Like, I definitely didn't believe, like, I had a purpose in life, and that made me so angry. And, yeah, for the past 4 years, the reason I felt truly lost was I was so separated from the church and God, and it was making me so incredibly angry with not only myself, but, like, everyone around me. I was so frustrated all the time. I didn't believe I had any talents, you know? And yeah, anyways, this last month, I have not only taken my faith more seriously than I ever have, I'm, like, studying the Bible and, like, putting out all my podcasts and, like, laying everything out onto the table and praying more, like, for, like, 20 minutes at a time and 5 times a day, maybe, like, on my way to work, when I'm off of work, like, I am praying all the time. And it's not, like, thank you so much for this. I'm so grateful. I'm, like, praying for people. I'm praying for the healing and everything. It's just, it's crazy. It's amazing what God can do. He is incredible. And I have done things for myself, like I said, and I kept my vision clear. I am keeping it clear. My eyes are dead set and focused on the Lord and wanting nothing but to please Him. Even my poetry is not depressing anymore. And I used to think that poetry, especially mine, is only good when it comes from a place of hurt. Like, a lot of my best poems were when I was hurting. And most of them were written out of anger and for anger. And a little side note, Jason gave me one of the most amazing ideas, like down-to-earth ideas that he could possibly give. And that was to share my poetry from when I was hurting, as well as any journal entries I feel absolutely transparent enough to share. God bless his heart. He's truly always wanting what is best for me. He gives me ideas. He's patient. He listens. He understands. He just wants me to succeed in this. He wants me to succeed in anything that I do. And that's vice versa. That's marriage. That's what it's about, you know? Like, that's community within God. And he is my biggest blessing. And Jason, if you're listening to this, I love you with everything. I do want to share my rawest feeling with you, though. And I have nothing to hide. Like, I absolutely love the idea of being raw and unedited and unfiltered. That's why I got up and I'm not going to block that out. Like, the sound of me moving the chair and come on, to my cat. Like, I don't know if you can hear that, but it'd be really sweet if you can. But, I believe that's how we should be. Like, that's how it should have been. And it's how we will be when it comes down to the day to meet our Lord and Savior on Judgment Day. And with that being said, I want to start off with a poem I had written when I was truly angry and hurt. Like, I felt desperate. I was hurting. And I was in my darkest and deepest feelings when the devil was holding onto my heart. Among all the other poems and journal entries within the years of 2020 to now, well, a month ago, like before I was taking my faith so seriously, I thought I was dedicating my life to Jesus, but I was so absolutely lost and angry because I was so far from God. I would search and search, but I was so caught up in the world. Like, I searched for answers, and I stopped relying on God because I was looking for my answers elsewhere. Like, I lost faith in prayer. I stopped talking to God as a whole, and I could feel myself getting power from an evil place. Like, I was writing the most poetry I've ever written based on lies. Based on the feelings of the depression and the anger I was feeling out of the resentment of God not listening to me anymore. I bought my first tarot deck in 2020, and I would become full of hope again, only for a little bit of time. It was like that temporary fixation that I needed. I was writing the most poetry I have ever written, and I was writing them under the influence when I smoked weed, and I would get an answer from the universe. Like, this sounds so silly, but I was slowly giving my joy to the devil, and I was lifeless after a while. And no wonder all of my poems were depressing and angry. I was seeking joy in things that were not of God. I was angry at myself, but I kept on this path for a few years because I believed I was writing the best poems of my life. I was selling my joy, my happiness and essentially my soul for inspiration. For the feelings that made me feel alive for the moment, but they slowly died away with my own soul. So here it is. It's called My Deepest Apology Isn't Sincere. I wish to walk among you and not feel mistreated. I can't be cured, and I am sorry. One day, you are succeeding, and you are so full of life. I can't be cured, and truly, I am sorry. It breaks my heart knowing I walk among you. You walk right past me. No regrets except that I can't be cured. I know you're sorry. I want to be loved. I don't have to be wanted. I can't be cured, and I can't help it. I'm sorry. All I'm asking is you have to accept me. I can't be cured, and I'm sorry. I'm here hoping you understand. After I tear you down, I can't be cured, and you know I'm sorry. All I think, hear, and feel is nothing but depression. I can't be cured, and surely I have to be sorry. Though I will be gone more than I appear, I can't be cured, and I'm not sorry. So I was convinced here that I grew up always apologizing after everything I said. I still do it. I'm at work and I literally apologize for everything. I bump into something or someone and I say, I'm sorry. And it's just after a while, like even Jason points it out, it's like, you probably are not sorry. Like you're just used to saying it. And like, I get offended at that because like, it makes me angry. I'm like, yeah, I am sorry. But thinking about it, like apologies and anger can get so like meshed together where you just don't want to like cause a scene. You don't want to get into like what you're truly feeling. You just want to like, you know, like put a block on your anger. So you're just like, all right, well, whatever. I'm sorry. So guess you're stuck with it. Like I literally was so stuck in I'm not growing anymore. I'm going to be angry for the rest of my life. I'm always going to carry around the short temper because I'm incurable. And I used to tell myself as well as say aloud that I was crazy. And I started to act the part. And I used to excuse my behavior. Like, oh, don't worry about me. Like, no one ever does. Pay no attention to me. I'm just crazy. Like, you know, the women in movies or in books or in poems, like, who are hysterical and act, like, completely insane and erratic? Yeah, that was me. It was completely theatrical. And I took theater in school, so I know exactly what that means. I know what it looks like. But I was taking it to a whole new level. And did I think about how God was viewing me, like, the people around me? But more so, God was watching me tear myself down and be manipulated by the devil. I tried to reach God so much, even when I was loving how depressed I was feeling, because it kept my creativity alive. And I was so convinced that that was who I was, that was it for me. And I was so heavily influenced and persuaded by the devil for years. I was constantly seeking approval from the universe. Like, I literally had this astrology app called CoStar installed on my phone. It would show me how my day was going to go. It would tell me why certain friends would act a certain way. Why wouldn't they reach out to me? Like, if I needed an answer, it would tell me. And it would literally tell me, like, if I should talk to my friend that day or not. And it was complete and utter chaos. Like, it sounds insane. Like, no wonder why I was just so freaking angry all of the time. I was literally giving complete control to stars, which God created, by the way. I don't know everything, but I do know that I was getting myself into what was all a part of the devil's plan to sway me into no longer needing or believing in God, having all of my answers in due time, that I can control my life if I just tap into my quote-unquote divine feminine and become godlike. Like, I will have all the power, all my answers will be resolved, I will never be sad again, and I will be able to manifest the rest of my life. Like, that is crazy talk, Loren. And I have heard this working out for people because I believe in witchcraft. Like, I believe in all that stuff. You know, like, you get into it, and, like, these people, yeah, they seem like they have it all on the outside, but are they truly happier? I believe in selling your soul. Like, there was literally a blues musician in the 30s. His name is Robert Johnson. He wanted so desperately to become the world's best guitarist and blues musician. He didn't learn on his own, as legend has it, that he went down to the crossroads in Mississippi to make a deal with Satan in order to do just that. He died in 1938, only being 27 years old, a part of the 27 Club, died mysteriously and suddenly, like most people that are involved in the 27 Club. If you don't know what that is, Google it. He had famous songs that kept this legend going, called The Crossroad Blues and Hellhounds on My Trail. Like, this is pretty insane to me. Since the 1930s seems so far away, and how much further advanced we are now from that point, and how his music and lyrics have shaped rock and roll forever. He's known as, like, the first rock star. And Satan may or may not have tempted him. It isn't known for a fact, or maybe it is, but Satan, before he was casted down, was in charge of music in heaven. And I believe his presence is very much alive in a lot of our music. That's why it's so influencing. And that's not a coincidence. But this is for a fact. Satan tempted me with both sadness and endless amounts of pain and poetry to create, and I caved. You know, I didn't get famous, and yeah, I wanted it, but I also wanted to pump out as much material as I could, so, like, I could die peacefully knowing that, like, I have 100 poems under my belt, but, like, seriously, what is that gonna do? You know, like, yeah, they're good, but they kept me depressed. I was not only heavily depressed, though, at that point, I was so angry that I blamed God first. I blamed Jason. I blamed Meadow. I blamed my childhood best friend. I blamed my mom, my trauma, everyone under the sun for leaving me, because I felt like I was abandoned. I felt like no one loved me for only seeing me as someone who could only make money with modeling. So I felt useless and worthless and angry, and I was just so deaf, and I felt dead. You know, I wandered aimlessly towards temptation after temptation. I stayed angry. I just wanted to keep being angry, to keep the fuel igniting the creativity when it came to writing poetry. And maybe you're someone who is easily manipulated or influenced like me. Or maybe you feel that your relationship with God is rocky, or you have taken a step away from faith. The question is, are we the ones with a bad temper? Or are we being tempted? And I think it's a good time to bring up temptation, and that means bringing up the devil. Because who is it really tempting us? Do you really believe that God is tempting you? Because I believe that it's Satan himself. God would never tempt us with things that seem too good to be true, or things that we prayed for but will end up turning into something evil or get us into trouble. God will never lead our hearts astray, because he's the light. Like, all of this comes from darkness if you're being led astray, if you're being led to a deeper and darker path. Not only do we have God to turn to, but the quote-unquote instincts we feel and sometimes we ignore it is because it is the Holy Spirit. Emphasis on the Holy. Ephesians 4:26 through 27 says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." You know, some anger has the intent of being malicious, and some is justified. Some is more sinful than other moments of anger, but none of the anger we feel is to be felt or acted upon all day long. It literally hurts my body when I have all this anger trapped inside of me. I have all this guilt and shame. It's like huge weight. It hurts my body. My back hurts and all of this stuff. And it's heavy. we are tempted by the devil. Yeah, we are. But what caused this sin to begin with? The thought is evil, and that could come from the devil, but we have free will, and that entails that we are able to act upon something, evil or not. But when it is evil, that's what makes it a sin. I feel like I just said the same thing 4 times. And usually, you know, like when you're in school, we do that when we're trying to write an essay that we don't really want know what we're talking about, or we're trying to finish the paper as fast as we can, so we keep going on and on. And we say things like, so in this essay, simplified in a few words that I can sum up, I will be like stating in the next couple passages, you know, like it's nonsense. And yeah, oh my gosh, like looking back, I disliked myself because I was capable of so much and I didn't give myself credit for it. I was just so angry and I wanted to finish everything and I was not patient and I was capable of having such a great relationship with God. But I kept finding excuses and like endless amounts of reason to not read the Bible or to keep going out and keep getting angry. And you know, like, hold on, my throat is getting dry. Jeez, sorry. You know, like my worst trait, like my unhealthiest trait, is not being able to communicate healthily. I will put on the fight or flight mode and get the heck out of there. As fast as I possibly can. Instead of saying, you know, I tend to gravitate towards, oh, well, my mom chose to avoid me and like act like nothing happened after like after a fight or like some form of communication. And I would get mad at her in the situation because I was never able to express my feelings all the way through. So I started to slam my door or hit a wall, and that's just something that I default to, but I can act a different way. I can grow from that victimization, you know? I can grow out of that trauma. I'm not my mom, and I can react differently and set a better example for my daughter, for my inner child, as well as my audience of this podcast. Hey, guys. Or just for everyone that I ever meet again in the future. Who I was is not who I am today, but it's from who I was that I was able to become the woman that I am today. And I don't act out of evil behaviors. I don't blame others except for the devil. And I don't even listen to him anymore. I don't give him the time of day, you know, like to steal my joy and let him laugh when I sin. Like, I don't have reason to sin, you know. I'm not afraid of bringing the devil up. Like, I've probably brought him up so many different times, and he has stopped this podcast so many times from happening. But here I am, laughing at him, because why should we be afraid of him? You know, the only one we should truly fear is God, because he is for us. Who should be against us? Literally. He holds our futures in our hands. And yeah, we have free will. And that is why it is up to us to remain obedient to God's laws. Time and time again in the Bible, it reminds us that we need to be willing to obey. You know, and time again, the words mentions that we can't be angry. We can't be selfish. Yes, we can be human because that is what and who we are, but we are so much more. We are beautifully, wonderfully, and perfectly made in his image. But what do we have to show for it if we are cursing people out, getting in a fight, stealing and wishing what others have, if we're judging and name calling? When we do these things, we let the devil win, and we don't want that. You know, he doesn't deserve our happiness and joy to be stolen for his amusement. He isn't a winner or clever. Or even original. He's a coward, and I believe the more I talk about him, the less afraid I become For I know my God is proud of me. He is for me. He is protecting me. He is stronger. And how strong I am and the armor of God I put on every single day is because of him. The faith I wear every single day is because of him. Like, I always thought that it was me who had an attitude problem or anger issues. And that could be, you know, like I said, we have free will. But who do you think wants us to fail and stray away from the gospel? Initially, like, away from everything pure and good, intentions and all. Who wants to persuade us that we should have a short fuse and have a bad temper? You know, I've had Jesus in my heart even without being taught about him when I was younger. And who do you think was envious of that? Like, as a young girl, I was really given anger issues. Like, no way that is from God, you know? He stitched me into my mother's womb. Like, he gave me my heart. But then again, I started to think Satan gives us trials and tribulations. And just like God wants to test our obedience, Satan wants to tempt us and see how much we are willing to give up, to be selfish and be angry, yell, scream. And this is probably one of the hardest and heaviest topics for me. You know, it's not something I'm proud of. Like, both God and the devil, like, they do trials in different ways, you know? And I seem to fail most of them. I seem to be tempted and, like, choose temptation to be angry. And, like, there's still times where I catch myself, like, wow, like, I should really catch myself, or I should really breathe, or I should really think about what I'm going to say before I say it. Because if I fall into that same pattern, I am choosing to listen to the devil, or I'm choosing, you know, to be tempted. Like, I am not, or nor should anyone be proud of allowing ourselves to be influenced by Satan. Because God knew that as a human, we choose to try and solve our own issues and try to diffuse the situation, but we always turn to anger first. And maybe not all of us, but it seems to be, you know, like, most people, because it's the most simple emotion and the most destructive. I mean, I used to think that it was constructive, but yeah, it definitely, like, tore, you know, like, things apart. And in the Bible, the term slow to anger is mentioned 10 times in the Old Testament. I eventually got to a point where I would slam doors, hit my own head. But I don't get so angry that I become physical to myself, yes, but to others, no. Not even as of recently, I haven't been doing that. But my blood used to boil so hot, and my face and my ears got so red. And then I start getting really emotional from how angry I'm getting. I feel like this is such a never-ending cycle. It's emotionally exhausting, especially for loved ones closest to me. I am left feeling awful, guilty, and just all of the feels that are just so awful. LOL. But once we get angry and it lingers on and sets the tone for the rest of the day, that's it. We end up getting angry at ourselves, or at least irritated more during the day. Like, we literally just let the devil win. What? Like, who the heck wants that? Am I really saying this is all just me? You know, like, stemming from my trauma, wanting justice, jealousy, or being envious of someone. And yes, there is someone definitely egging me on or inflating my ego and pride so big that I end up exploding and losing everything. But it's also my own doing and reaction that caused me to be angry. I could lose everything. I could lose everyone because of things I feel I can't control coming out of my mouth. I can't control it. Or am I being manipulated at that point in time? James 3:14-16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice.
Yeah, I definitely was saying, doing things like out of selfish, like intent, malicious intent, and being influenced, heavily influenced by earthly things, you know, demonic, unspiritual. I definitely, like, I just needed to get that verse written out. And I needed to say it out loud for myself, for my own healing. And I really hope that you guys can take something away from that one. I also written down James 1:19-26. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. What I took away from this is, like, remaining obedient is how we have perfect harmony with not only Jesus and God's law, but with being a human and, like, learning how to speak to other humans and living out our purpose. Enjoying life for what it actually is and not how we see it in sin. Because when we are sinning and remaining angry and envious and spiteful, we are learning to adapt to the world and how much chaos it is not knowing peace, not learning to adjust to perfection. Because, yeah, we'll never be perfect, but God's love, His grace and word are all perfect, and living it out will help us remain at peace and content and happy with our lives. And, yeah, we'll still have hiccups in life. Loved ones will die, but these are all of natural order. But enjoying life because we're doing things the right way is so much better than doing things that we want and living out of sin and living out of guilt and shame and wondering why bad things keep happening. Like, seriously? Are we for real? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing and thinking about the consequences. Like, thinking we're gonna get away with it. It feels like such a high school mentality. You know, I'm, sorry, originally I'm from, like, the LA area, and I feel like people from LA know exactly what that means. Between the traffic, the people, the environment as a whole, it's a lot. It's a freaking lot to deal with. It's enough to make anyone feel bitter and angry. People cutting people off because they believe where they are going is more important than the other person's plans. That's why road rage is oh so very prominent in LA, in any busy area for that matter. But with the grace of God, anyone can change. Like with Jesus' heart, I know now that is in my heart. I want to share with others the amount of patience I have received. Because hating people is just so hard to do now. Being aggressive while driving and rushing and flipping people off and shouting, screaming, blaming everyone else. We are mad that we're not in control. And how do we expect to drive normally if we don't have that proper guidance? Because the same thing is within our walk of life, our path. Like, how are we going to have that inner peace knowing our hearts and minds are unprotected? That we're taken care of. How are we supposed to know that? Because we're not in control, but that's okay. God is in control. He will protect your heart. He will take care of you. And you won't have to, you know, like, flip people off and scream and shout. And, you know, like, you'll be able to walk down your path healthily, peacefully, patiently. no matter where we are going, whether it be on the road or in life, if it isn't towards Jesus and remaining obedient, it isn't more important than the next person's. We would just be wanderers, like lost souls, angry because we're just running around like chickens with our heads cut off, like in circles, repeating the same thing over and over, day by day, unable to break the cycle. Because we would be just handling the brokenness and the loneliness that has taken over our hearts and minds at that time. Well, we would just be angry all of the time, stuck on autopilot. And it's like an automatic setting at that point. Because nobody's born angry. There's usually something significant that happens that triggers it, or whatever it is, like, that's causing it. And who is behind it? You think God is behind your anger? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." I can say that this is about the devil, but how I took it is the people we are involved with, the people that we spend time with, hang out with, who we get married to, or, you know, are in relationship with. It's easy to become of this world, to get persuaded by the people we're hanging out with because of their rudeness or their disrespect, because they may find it funny. You know, name calling, judging, making fun of people, you name it. And it's easy to feel so many different emotions. And then we try and express it. And our first instinct is, how do I get this feeling across with even more expression? Oh, I know, I'm going to cuss. Because cussing, in my opinion, is one of the main sources for keeping anger so existent, so present. Because as I was looking into cussing and what the word says about it, like, should we be even using it? And what are the pros and cons? Because newsflash, there are absolutely no benefits. I don't know if you knew that. Like, I have a few Bible verses that I'm going to share that talk about not using foul language, such as cussing or talking bad about someone in a derogatory sense, in order to keep your loyalty to the Father. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, rather thanksgiving." So if we consider the things that God has done for us, which is everything, it would be easier to not speak ill on people using harsh words or like jokes about someone, and just thank God that he has given us a mouth to speak and like be able to breathe, and we have friends and family to love on. And these people that we're making fun of, like, they could be our friends, but they could just be random strangers we see on the side of the road, you know? And we're just making fun of them for what? They are children of God. Colossians 3:8. "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, and filthy language from your lips." I thought this one was really strong on its own, and then it doesn't even need any context. It's like pretty self-explanatory and so straight to the point. I have a few more. Like James 3:6-10 says, "How we speak, what we choose and decide to say next can cause us to sin. Our words hold such weight. Our words and actions can impact the rest of our lives or someone else's, especially when we let the devil tempt us in forming sentences that cause harm." Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, like, not to speak ill on myself, but how, this is like my interpretation of the verse. I didn't even incorporate it, so let me get my Bible out. This is so silly. Hold on. Where's my Bible? I think it's downstairs. Luckily, I have like freaking 5 Bibles on deck. So I'm gonna flip to James. I'm sorry, like, I feel like there's like a frog in my throat. I don't know what happened, if I'm just like so excited to talk about God, but I'm like losing my voice. James Maybe it's because I'm talking about the devil so much, he's trying to cut the recording again. Who knew? Yeah, he's such a coward, dude. I would 10 out of 10 not recommend him. Where is James? This is a really powerful one, so, like, I definitely want to find it. I'm literally sitting at my computer. I could have just, like, typed it in really fast, but I feel like opening the Bible is so powerful. And it makes me feel closer to God, because once I'm, like, on the computer, I will get sidetracked and start, like, going on a Pinterest. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was doing. I'm, like, definitely not finding it. Okay, we're gonna skip that one for now, because that's taking a little bit of time. I also wrote down Proverbs 4:24. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. In other words, stop corrupting your words with words that are unacceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Like cussing and like name calling and, you know, like putting his children down. I don't know. I'm not going to get into specifics in this episode. I mentioned this before, but in due time I will. But when the Lord says, okay, this is something someone is going to need to hear right now, I usually listen. Like, I definitely believe that this, what I'm talking about today, someone is going to need it. I feel like anger is so prevalent in everyday life, no matter the situation, whether it be generational trauma, you name it. I have been through literal hell and back, and I gave myself the excuse that being angry is perfectly normal, which it is. But, you know, like, I would say that I deserve to be angry. And that's not normal. Ugh, that's a little cry-cry. It's easy to get irritated with someone. Without God, it's a lot easier to get upset with someone. It's easy to feel disrespected. But we have to be willing to take up our own cross every single day and die to our selfish natures. You know, when we feel burdened by feelings of being disrespected, it will keep us from knowing peace. It'll keep us from knowing God's heart. How someone else is feeling and how they choose to act or react to us or a situation isn't in our control. It's, you know, like how you choose to act, that's in your control. You know, most of the reason why I'm leaving my job, it's because my manager at work, she has a lot of demons she's battling, you know? Like, I give her the benefit of the doubt. But is it up to me to fix her and tell her to go to therapy? No. We all have spiritual warfare going on. And even when... I feel like you can do so much when you vocalize your love for Jesus. Like, I can always show Jesus' light within me and allow her to come to her senses. Maybe she doesn't realize what she's doing. Maybe she does. I pray for her every single day, though. Every day that I can, even when I leave this job for the teaching position I had just received, I'll be praying for her. Maybe in 10 years, I still will be wishing and hoping she is making better life decisions. I'll always pray the most for the people who have hurt me. Like my bullies, my ex-boyfriends who have abused me mentally and sexually. These people need their own form of healing, and I pray it isn't drugs. I pray it isn't anything but God. At the end of the day, we all share the same Father, and I want us to all know Him. Like, no matter what we are going through in life, we can turn to Him. Because we need someone. We need Jesus. Because we are all so bitter to each other. And ourselves. Like, there is so much going on in the world, and we can't keep getting caught up in the world. It's poison. Satan was an angel before he was casted down. You know, like I said, he was in charge of worship. The music we listen to on a day-to-day basis honestly probably is tampered with in order to fit his plans. That's what I meant by it's, you know, it's influencing. And I wouldn't doubt that Satan is in the industry. He's manipulative and he tries and plays God so much. And it's hard to differentiate who we hear when we react to a situation. Satan wants us to make all of the wrong choices, leading us to divorce and ending a lifelong friendship and leaving a job God has placed into our lives. Because Satan's goal, his end goal for us, ultimately is death. Like, whether physical or spiritual death, it's going to lead us away. It's going to lead us to, you know, damnation. Satan wants nothing more than to lie to us and break our spirits. And for years, telling myself that festered up in my emotions that wouldn't be contained, until I found God. I would tell myself, I'm crazy. Like, all the lies, they just started building up. And, you know, they weren't going to be contained until I finally was like, God, please take this from me. You know, take my burdens. And I still have some issues with it. Yeah, I'm not perfect. I am of flesh and blood. But I know now that I can turn to prayer first. I can turn to my friends and my mom and Jason. You name it. The list is literally endless. And once you're out of the hole you dug for yourself, you'll start to realize that you've had them all along. You've had your friends and your family, and maybe you didn't, but you'll find, like, you'll have the true friends. They'll come, like, out of nowhere. Like, Jason came out of nowhere, and I know that it was God. You know, like, I didn't even realize that I had anger issues, which is like, girl, are you serious? Like, you would punch walls, and you don't see yourself having anger issues? Are you kidding me? Like, I would literally scream at myself and I would scream at others, but I would never get physically violent to someone because, again, I have always been fearful of the Lord. But it's very contradictory to believe that just because you don't act out on your anger, like by hitting someone, by getting into a fight, but going home and slamming a door super hard out of frustration and anger isn't the same thing, you're wrong. It's contradictory. Just because you're hitting an inanimate object doesn't mean that it makes it okay. I learned to live for God because before I was only living for myself. I wanted justice. Things didn't make sense. I felt like I deserved to be angry. What I have been through wasn't fair. And I was just so empty, you know? But Jesus, when he was here, you think he was getting treated fairly? He had every right to be angry. And he spoke to all kinds of people and he loved them and didn't judge and wasn't angry. And I feel like that's how we should be leading our lives. Because if we're judging, we are keeping the anger at bay. We're letting the enemy win. You know, I would get so angry. I've even been angry at the Lord many times. And I bet a lot of people can agree with this statement, that they have blamed God for what they had been through or the actions. And I'm here to read scripture so that we may learn together that anger is not okay. If it is in the Bible, it is a part of God's word, God's law. We cannot be a part of this evil thing anymore. We can't let the world control us. And we can't let the outside world tell us how we are feeling is okay. And that's it. Like, with no healthy outlet, no redirection to the Lord. I get stressed out, Jason does, my mom, my coworkers at work and at home, because they have their lives after work, and I'm pretty sure even Meadow does, especially when she can't figure something out. She gets frustrated, like we all do. But it's up to us to find even 15 minutes to do something for ourselves. Like, recently I've been having a real problem with sugar, and this may not seem like a big deal, but it is a huge deal. Jason and I were supposed to cut out processed foods. And I'm having the hardest time because I grew up with sugar. And I work at Starbucks. And when it comes time for my break, I can't seem to say no to a coffee that is basically all sugar. For the past few weeks, my loophole, instead of getting a brown sugar shaken espresso with the pumps of brown sugar that has like all like the corn syrup and all of it and like whatever else comes in that, I can just use the real brown sugar. And it's like, girl, wake up. It is all the same thing. Who are you kidding? Who am I really playing in the long run? Because it isn't my coworker Amy or Haley. Because they may think that seems healthier. You know, that the same thing can be said when it comes to our relationship with God and how obedient we truly are. If we're going to church but we're not reading the Bible, who are we kidding? You know, I want to be able to hold myself accountable when it comes to reading the Bible. But if I'm just listening to a Christian podcast or listening to worship music instead of reading the Bible, who am I really playing? I am skimping myself out of a real and raw relationship with my Father. I really want to be able to deny myself of selfish things in life like anger. So why can't I with sugar? The right answer is I can. Like, anything is possible through him, and it's going to take a lot of discipline. The crazy amount of sugar I intake is so bad for me, like mentally, physically, emotionally. So why wouldn't it also be bad for me spiritually? You know, he spoke to me so loudly today about the unhealthy relationship I have with sugar today. It isn't sustainable. It isn't something I should be reliant on. It isn't making me happy like it used to when I was a kid, when I used to sneak snacks into my room so my mom didn't see them and I would eat them while I watched a movie when I was 11. And yeah, it's nostalgic. But it's the most unhealthiest habit I have held onto for years. And for most of those years, I had told myself it wasn't a problem. I have a fast metabolism. But if you look inside my mouth, my fillings from where there was cavities will tell you differently. If my teeth, my bones can't handle it, what makes you think my heart, my mind, my body, and my spirit can handle it? And this message hits me pretty last minute, and someone needs to hear that what they're doing, saying, seeing, watching, or eating and putting into their bodies or doing to their bodies isn't sustainable. Worldly things aren't sustainable. We aren't living because we are relying on flesh or the world to provide answers, to provide love, to provide protection, and temporary fun. The temptation to be angry because we feel we need and deserve justice. According to University of Michigan School of Public Health, it says, a growing body of evidence suggests a relationship between mood and blood sugar or glycemic highs and lows. Symptoms of poor glycemic regulation has been shown to closely mirror mental health symptoms such as irritability, anxiety, and worry. This should come as no surprise as the brain runs primarily on glucose. Wow. That's crazy because I have a problem with all of those things like anger, anxiety, worry, irritability. Are you kidding me? I mean, something so simple as sugar because it's such a worldly thing. It's not of God and I'm relying on it for years and years and years to sustain like my happiness. You know, it's the same thing. Like you're really choosing other things other than God. And it's literally up to us to decide which T word is running amok in our life. Temptation? Or is it temper that we need to control? But hopefully you get to sit down and sip on some tea that is sweetened with some Jesus. That is what we need in this bitter life. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. I know it was a longer one, but I felt very compelled. I love you all for listening. I really needed this for me, and I know someone needs this out there as well, and I'm speaking to you. So, yes, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful day, and I will come out with the next one, hopefully a little sooner, and a little shorter. So, yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day. I didn't get to the anger management, but a lot of it was like mindfulness. So if you can, take some time to relax, get a little mindful, meditate on the word, meditate on some calm music. Just find some time to relax for yourself. Really get into yourself, love yourself, know yourself, you know, and become the best version of yourself. Today, tomorrow, and forever, girls. And guys, whoever's listening.
All right. Thank you.